Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast post-game show.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 359. Sorry, slight delay at the beginning of there. Well, brief delay of the podcast. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend. And you live so far away, you don't have to be a fan. You didn't have to choose to be a Lions fan, but Ash Thompson, how you doing?
Why do you want to hurt me like that? I'm sorry. Like, I know, but some people, if they got time travel, you know, they'd go back and they'd try to kill Hitler or something like that. I would just have a frank conversation with my 12-year-old self and just be like, literally, just stop watching the sport. You'll get hundreds of hours back, but nothing in your life will ever so consistently disappoint you and make you feel like this.
Oh, my God. This was a horrific ending. I mean, it felt so good up until... Yeah. Well, we'll get into it. We're going to talk about today's game. We'll just do a little roundtable discussion, just the two of us, and then we'll take your calls. We've got all that going on and a whole lot more. Are you ready to go, Ash?
100%. Let's get this thing rolling.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
Well, the one thing is, and I'm seeing it in the chat, I'll take that with me from Troy. Look, the Ravens had to make history in order to beat this Lions team. And God, that delay of game, what is that, 5 yards? Is it a 10-second runoff?
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah.
It's a win.
It's not even an option. Yeah. It's a Hail Mary if that penalty gets called. But now, like I was saying in the pregame, we are assuming that the CBS 17th string game crew was able to have everything synced up properly so that what we saw on the screen accurately reflects the clocks in the building. But in the event that they did, everybody involved in that needs to be fined.
Oh, yeah.
they you can say that there are a thousand other plays in the game. Like our good friend doesn't go out of bounds and stay out of bounds. That's 3 points probably. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I do.
And then that kick's not happening at the end.
I felt so bad for Jerry on that play.
Oh, yeah.
It's his birthday, man. Come on.
And he's such a good dude.
He's the best.
You know, dude. I can't, and you can't get mad at a guy who made a mistake in the first quarter and say that caused the loss. I'm just saying that 100 different plays, if they had gone slightly differently, would have made that one freaking yard difference.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a guy, he often has some wisdom in the Slack. You may know him. Said something about, you know, so many young players, you're going to have some mistakes that young players make. You know, who was it that said that? It might have been you. That's one of the things you get with a team like this, but that's fine. You make your mistakes, you pay the price, you pay for them. But what we have here is the game turned on an amazing kick, an absolutely fabulous, yes, amazing kick that should never
be like 12 fantasy points in three different leagues.
Should never, ever, ever have happened. Man.
Yeah.
Man, 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 man. Now, again, I know people want to talk about like the 4th and 19, or like you said, the out of bounds penalty, some of the countless other penalties that this team got in this game. And that's absolutely right. But the team did everything to win the game. They were at the point of winning the game. Yep. And the refs took it away. I might say same old refs. I will quote Trev, kiss my tender butthole, NFL. Just pucker up and give it a smooch. It was terrible. We're going to have Blandino on this week. We'll talk about it. He's working today. I want to see if you could squeeze a phone call in with us, but pull out some of the Blandino salve and get that hashtag hire Blandino going again. This NFL, this officiating is just horrible. Now, look, as a Lions fan, what have we played? We've played three definite playoff teams.
Mm-hmm. Three Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah. In the first three games of the season.
Two of them were one-score games. If you told me that the day before the season started, that because I would have said 100% we were going to lose all three of these games. Like, today's outcome that I'm mad about an officiating call at the end of this game is the most surprising thing that could have happened today.
Yeah,
to be it, perfectly blunt.
It absolutely is.
Not being angry about an officiating call at the end of the day. You know, if the 1% extra that needed to happen for this to be a win had occurred, that would be more surprising than this. But this is the second most surprising outcome of the day. Like I legitimately was thinking it was going to be another 38-10 showing, you know what I mean? Like something where we were just embarrassed, even with all of the COVID guys missing and all of the injuries that the Ravens have had, because everything leading up to this week said that was a much better team than the Detroit Lions.
It was 10.5-point spread when I checked on Friday.
And everyone was picking the Ravens to cover that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, God. Tony Ortiz, if anybody, boy, he nails it. Every week he nails it. We do this, the Friday show. He's like, look, if there's a team that is lined up perfectly and a game is lined up perfectly for the Lions to do an upset, it was this week. And they were just a terrible call away. I mean, look, again, they did everything they needed to do up until that freaking call. The whole game's different with that call. Everything changes.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to be the Joey Blue Skies today to bounce off your Friday theme of Joey Harrington, but like so many things went right today. Like if you look at my Twitter feed, there's a couple of GIFs I put out earlier in the game about something specific that the Lions were doing schematically to spy Lamar Jackson. They were dropping a defensive tackle in coverage, and they did it with Nick Williams to perfection, and then lined Julian Oguara up on the inside and had him drop back and do it. And two consecutive drives, it was the reason that they had to punt, because Lamar sprang free, but these two guys did just enough to make him not be able to have a clear running lane, and someone else came in and wiped him out. You know what I mean? With the effort play.
Yep.
And the thing is, if Jamie Collins is the guy who has to make that effort play, that's just a 25-yard run for Lamar Jackson. So that is another thing we need to take away from this as a positive, is they saw a turd. They got rid of the turd. This is the immediate result. These guys who will do everything they can possibly do to come up with a positive result are out there. And they damn near did it.
So we talk about the young players, the youth, you know, the youth movement, and they're going to make, you know, rookie young player mistakes. That happens. First time coaching staff. I mean, I'm pretty happy with this coaching staff so far, how they've done game management, right? I mean, they haven't been. Now, a lot of these players, because of their skill level and the youth, and some of the players themselves, because of the previous regime, they're just outmatched. They're playing against better teams. And to play a team like the Ravens as closely as we did, and to hold it until the very last, you know, the poor call at the end there, that says a lot about what's happening with this team from a coaching perspective, schematically, and the fact that, again, you know, let me go back to last year. This time, so let's say it's the third game of the season, we have that first half that we had against this team. They don't come out and play in the second half. They don't come. They're done. They give up. This team never gives up. This team doesn't have give up in its system. It doesn't even know what give up is. You've
had enough of that shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, they didn't even play well in the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
But also if Marquise Brown could catch a ball, we would have been down by 28 points at halftime.
Marquise Brown, go to Marquise Brown though.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. Like the thing is, you beat the guy who's in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whoever that guy happens to be, he's still a legitimate NFL player. And that is a very high draft pick from a very short time ago who just had a bad day today. And guys have bad days on both sides of the ball, both teams, every single day. And it's the team that takes advantage of the guy who's having the bad day that ends up winning the game. Right. So I don't think that matters, because somebody on the Ravens was going to have a bad day today. It just happened to be that guy today in very important, very public situations, but also like Lamar Jackson didn't have a good day because he was under pressure constantly. Like how many times were they wide open up the middle and he just overthrew the guy by 5 yards?
You know, the only SOL thing I want to say about today is we may have written a little blueprint for how other people can stop the Ravens going forward.
Why do you want to hurt me so bad, Chris? Like, but you're not wrong. I mean, with that said, I mean, the MO for Lamar Jackson has been, if you keep him in the pocket and make him beat you on difficult throws, that is literally the one thing he can't do. Like, you ask him to do anything else and it's done. Yep. And it's done extremely well. But that one thing of just hang in the pocket and make the throw has never been his MO. It's not that he can't throw an accurate ball. It's just that in situations where there's traffic around him and he's not on the run, he just doesn't seem comfortable and he doesn't make good throws a lot of the time. But, you know, not that he can't, he just doesn't consistently.
Right.
So that was their one shot, and they shot their shot, and it was so close. Like,
It was.
More play.
One more play.
And like, but the thing is, the loss can't be the takeaway on this. You know what I mean? Not for us, definitely not for the team.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, this defense, this is the best game they've played. And it is by far, it is not even close. Like, Trevor Price coming out there and starting as the cornerback should have been a nightmare. That should have been 280 yards receiving, given up, given what his life up to this second.
Yep.
Like, he came out, he balled out today.
Yep.
And a couple missed coverages that happened. But then the guy who missed that coverage got replaced immediately, and that went away, and everything got shut down. And like, things that should be happening are happening.
Yeah.
Like, Marlo probably should be starting now.
This defense is 180 degrees from last year's defense. Hey, caller, what's your name? How much have you had to drink so far?
Hey, it's Jamie from Montana.
Hey, Jamie.
And I've not had enough.
Did you see Blandino's tweet at us?
Oh, man. So living out here, I don't have that many people that I can call and gripe about. But, you know, I'm not really going to gripe. This may have been a loss, but there's such a good foundation being built right now. And it's very exciting to see a team actually get down and run right back into it and chew a kneecap or two along the way. I just want them to put two halves of football together.
Right.
You mean more than one quarter.
This one hurt. I'll tell you, I don't like the play calling. I'll tell you where I didn't like the coaching probably the most was when we pulled that last field goal. The run before this wasn't what I expected from Dan Campbell. I expected really going, you know, nuts deep on this thing and just shoving it down instead of this weak little run out of the backfield, which I know has been effective for us, right? But there was no disguising it. There's no trickeration. There was no question what the Lions were doing on all three of those plays for the Baltimore defense. And I didn't like that at all. I really, really think, especially the way we'd moved the ball down the field to that point, that the coaches could have stayed aggressive and gotten six out of that instead of three.
Yep.
The only thing that I saw with that was we got down there with, you know, little circle passes and flare outs from Swift, and Swift had his coming out party. I think today was a big day for him, and hopefully nobody else in the league was watching so they don't key in on him and shut us down, or else we're down to Hawkinson. But as soon as we got down to the right around the 20 there, it's like, okay, run, like you said. And I think if they would have been a little more aggressive and did a pass or two through there, you know, that touchdown, you know, I, as you were saying, man, I completely agree with that. I think we should have been a little more aggressive there, you know, and drilled it home a little bit more or bit the other kneecap off or something, you know. But all in all, what I'm seeing is exciting because it's, you know, Goff can look bad, but it looks like he's coachable. And when they make those halftime adjustments, he's able to come out and do things. And I mean, there's a pocket presence to him that I'm very surprised by that I didn't realize he had.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. So, hey, Jamie, we're gonna talk about you here very shortly.
But hold on.
I know we got a lot of calls coming. I want to do this. I just saw because of, you know, the game ends, I'm up and firing the studio up right for the broadcast. I just saw a replay. It wasn't just a delay game. There was a full blown false start that they didn't call on that as well. It was two players, the center and the right guard, both moved very obviously. I didn't even have to enlarge the video. It was just in the little Twitter timeline, and you could see very clearly those guys both moved. That is worse now because there's two penalties that went uncalled.
Well, I think it's also karma that made fun of the Bears for their double doink miss of a field goal years ago, and then all of a sudden we get a doink and we end up losing.
How about Ryan Santoso? All right, Jamie, let's do this thing really quick for Jamie. Jamie is set up. We're going to do something throughout October in the lead up to St. Jude. This is going to be really cool. We're going to set an amount of money. We'll talk about it a little bit more, but every time we raise that amount of money, when the link comes out and you do hashtag Jamie's pies, we're thinking it's going to be every $100. Jamie's going to take a pie in the face throughout the month of October. We'll put the video on the show. You guys will get to see it. We'll put it up, have some fun with it. But Jamie's pies, we're going to have a couple other things. If you want to get involved, help raise money for St. Jude, remember our 24-hour broadcast is on the 5th and 6th of November. A lot going on. We'll get links and everything else out to you very, very shortly. We're only about 5 days away from kicking that off. But Jamie, thank you so much for stepping up and agreeing to do that, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, man, my kids and my wife are ecstatic to throw pies in my face. So the more money we can raise, the happier you're going to make my family. And in turn, it's going to make me happy, too.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome, bud. All right, I'm going to let you roll. I'm going to keep the phones are just on fire today, and I know everyone wants to talk. So I'm going to bounce and we'll get back with you soon. Okay, buddy? All right. Oops. I'm never good at that part. All right. Yeah, no. False start. False start with it. Oh, boy. Encouraging. I'm trying to put together what the takeaways are right now, right? And
focus on the positives. Yeah.
When you run away from the game right as it ends, and you're trying to put everything together and get everything set up, maybe it'll help. We'll take another call. How about that? Hey, caller, what's your name? How much have you had to drink?
Hey, it's Lucas. I haven't anything to drink, but I'm out taking my dog for a walk after that because I needed to cool off a little bit.
That's probably a good plan. That's probably a really good plan.
I've got a bit of a hot take, and I know it's just kind of emotional after that, and it'll cool down. But obviously all those calls with the refs and all that, horrible. But I'm putting full blame for today's loss today on the coaching staff, and that's because if I see another prevent defense in anything other than Hail Mary situation, I'm going to lose my mind because it never works. And any coach who calls it anymore, I think, should just be fired. And I know that's very emotional, but I'm just so sick of seeing a team like we held Lamar Jackson. We almost sacked him twice with four rushing. Maybe there were five. I don't remember. But like we had what we needed for that, and they decided, you know what, we're not going to do that on this 4th and 19, and then give up a big play. And it just drives me nuts.
Yeah. I've got a thought of that. I'm going to let you go, Ash, but I don't. Go ahead.
4th and 19 is what that defense is designed for. The player who was supposed to be covering that guy didn't do his job. To be perfectly blunt, yeah. Like on that play, that guy messed up, and so his receiver was open. Like, we can't let the guy get behind you. He let the guy get behind you. That's game.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But the defense had been doing that anyway. So giving Lamar any amount of time. Like, because that's just what's going to happen when you rush three. It's just hard to get to the quarterback. Like they came pretty close, but like I just feel like they've been letting their guy open anyway. So you give them any amount of time, and someone's going to blow it. And you just got to be aggressive to me. And it just drives me nuts seeing it. Every time I see prevent defense, it just seems like it does not work.
And on that play, you could see Romeo Okwara pull up and not rush hard because he knew if he took an inside move, Lamar Jackson just shoots out the outside and it's a 19-yard run and that's game too. You know, so yeah, you're not wrong. You know, but I see what the coach was going for. I get why he did it. It just didn't work. And I think that's what we tend to focus on a lot is not whether it was the right move, but whether we like the result.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't like the result any more than you do, man.
I hate prevent defense, but I understand why it's there. And it's, you know, the whole thing, it prevents you from winning whatever, but, and you see it all the time. There's all kinds of different things that go on when in these situations, and it really is, you know, beat your guy. You just got to beat your guy. I'm from both sides of the ball. And it is what it is. 4th and 19, like you said, that's the time and place to call that, especially with that much time left in the game. That was a failure on the Lions' part to stop that, and that hurts. But still, if the penalty is called appropriately, the outcome of the game, they played that fourth and 19 just fine.
I do agree with you there. I think I'm at the point where these calls happen so much. I'm just like, okay, we got to look at where else we could have won, because I couldn't believe that. The announcers count it down, and you're sitting there like, okay. Like, oh no, they got the ball off. Yeah, okay, sure they did. Yeah. Sure they did. The fix isn't in or anything. No. But I think too, just seeing the prevent defense there, like you said, it's probably the right call. You guys are more level-headed than I am at the moment. But you see it so much in games where the other teams start crawling back. It does kind of seem like rather than go for the throat, oh, we're going to just kind of play back and play reactionary. And I think that's part of where seeing that at that time, I was just like, guys, like, just go for the kill. Like, you can't be doing this stuff.
Patreon yeah. Slack had a great Ryan Stan Santoso Fisher. Okay, brother, we're going to let you go. Phones are bouncing. Right. Yep. Okay. Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
Ryan Santoso, of course, he's still my crush, right?
It's such a great picture.
The picture is awesome. Oh, he looks like Gomez Adams. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's great. You can hang out
in
this.
Prevent defense, like the prevent defense is how the Lions got back into the San Francisco game. So like in theory, like, this is a sound theory that the prevent defense just prevents you from winning games. Mm-hmm. But one play, not a whole quarter. You know what I mean? Like, and people are going to disagree with me and say that, you know, I'm some kind of super homer or something like that. But for one play on 4th and 19, giving up the underneath is the right move, in my opinion, as opposed to blitzing a guy and, you know, having 5 rushers and then having that be the play that Marquise Brown finally catches the ball for an 80-yard touchdown. And we're all screaming about that. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
On the percentages, I think the prevent works out better on that play than any other defense that you're going to throw out there.
I see people saying something about intentional grounding too. I didn't see that. We'll see. I know that call certainly come in. Oh man. This gets worse and worse. But I'll tell you again, this is a Lions team that 1 year ago, Game 3, gives up after the first half. They don't have the heart, they don't have the soul, they don't have the attitude that this team has. We knew that it's going to be a tough season. We knew it was going to be a season full of losses. But you cannot tell me that these first 3 games are not more fun than probably every game last season, even though they lost all 3 of these games. And these are, again, really, really good playoff caliber, potential Super Bowl teams.
Yep.
Caller on the line. Hey, caller, what's your name? How much you had to drink?
Hi, Chris. It's Matt from the UK. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great, man. I actually spoke to you on our podcast, Roar of the Lions, not long ago. How are you doing?
Good.
I just saw the intentional grounding as part of that play, and it's as egregious as the false start. It's really bad. He just throws it away, the throwaway play, but there isn't a receiver in the area, so it's bad. But I'm not going to focus on that because you'll probably talk about that in a bit. I want to focus on a positive because I like to do that sort of thing. The defense kept us in the game the majority of the day. There's a couple of drops that the Ravens should not have made. But across the defense, much, much better play, including Alex Anzalone, because he wasn't covering Collins' ass.
Jimmy
Marlowe looked good as safety. Jalen Reeves-Maybin looked good. Romeo played quite well. Derek Barnes had a good game. Parker, Price looked good. Harris. There's a lot of positives to take from this game. If you told me that we'd hold them to 19 points, I mean, I can't believe how well this defense played on the whole.
Absolutely. I mean, again, when you look at the spread ahead of the game, 10.5 points, and we played them that tight the whole game. The defense was up to the task today against a very, very good team. 19 points. I mean, God, when did the Patricia defense last hold anybody to 19 points? I don't know. Was it 2019?
That sounds accurate, to be honest with you, man.
Well, and never mind that. The fact that on the offensive side, halftime, we made some adjustments and we actually got the ball to some guys who hadn't seen the ball very much. In Khalif Raymond, Darren Fells made plays on the ball. We kept them off balance throughout. Now, the execution was not great in the first half, but I don't know. It always felt like we had hope in this game.
Always have hope. Always have. There's always a little bit of hopium on the table till the third quarter of the Packers game. yeah, no, they played a lot better. I mean, they played better than any Patricia team. They played enough, good enough to win, according to everybody except the officials. I think this was a very, very good game for this young team to show potential and where they're heading. We've talked about a little bit the Miami probably last year being a good template for what you're looking at when you look at this year's team. You're probably going to see this kind of stuff early. They'll start picking up the wins in the last half of the season as things start to come together and leave you with a pretty good look as to how they've grown and built. And then you'll have a lot of action going on in free agency with the about $40 million in dead cap going away and the draft with all the draft capital we have. I think you're going to see a pretty significant step forward with the team next year. But this is all about vetting the talent we have, growing the talent we have. And Ash, you talk about this really, really great, but not plugging the roster holes with guys that prevent the young guys from being developed and aren't that great anyway and just cost you a bunch of money. He can really makes a good point around those types of things. This is just, it's an austerity year almost. It's kind of what you're going to have to go through to on a rebuild of a team that Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia left you when they tried to build the 1986 Giants.
Yeah. And the thing with that is, like, there are veterans who are in the way. For example, if you told me Khalif Raymond would still be playing ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown before the season started, I'd be shocked. And Andreas in the Slack likes to give me grief about that pretty much continuously, because I was on board with St. Brown, like, in November of last year. You know what I mean? So when we got him in the fourth, I was like, yeah, day one impact, round four. Not so much so far. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That hasn't, that's a bad prediction on my part, Andres. You're right.
I think the biggest thing, sorry, just to interrupt on, I'll take it off the air after this, but the biggest thing that give me hope about this is during the Quintricia era, you could have a look at the coaching and just say, I don't see where we're going. The coaching is leaving the players on an island, but the coaching just looks good. They passing the eye test in the first few games. And that's the biggest thing for me. We can develop all the talent we want in the front office, but if the coaching doesn't look right, you're doomed to fail. And you could see that with Matt Patricia, but this just looks like it's going to work inevitably at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're, it's going to work at some level better than the last one worked. I know that much for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Low bar.
But that is the thing. Like, they still make some mistakes, but then they learn from those mistakes as the game is going and stop making them. For example, like, how many times in the first half did you see Jared Goff rolling out on a naked bootleg and throwing to the running back for a 2-yard completion? A whole bunch of times. How many times did you see that in the second half? I counted one. You know what I mean? Because it's just, it's a bad play. It takes a long time to develop against this team where they will blitz guys and will bring stunts and will put pressure in your face. You don't have that much time for the play to develop. And in the second half, they were doing no step drop, throw the ball, which on a team that you can't block, which, like, let's face it, for whatever reason today, the Lions could absolutely not contain that front seven. There was pressure on Goff every time he tried to throw the ball.
Those stunts were crazy, you know, man. They were
murder.
Oh my God. It
like
was
watching Calais Campbell come from the edge with Penei Sewell and basically just pushing him into the guard and into the center. And, and then the other guy just whoop right around there. And the running back's off blocking another guy who's coming from the other side. It's not like he's not doing anything.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? It's six hats blocking, eight hats coming, you know,
it's
what it seemed like a lot of the time.
Yep.
Or one guy takes three hats on the blocking. So there's two guys coming free anyway, right? Like, it just, that was crazy in the first half, but they adjusted to it. They changed what they were doing, like Matt said, and the results showed that eventually.
Yes. Let me see if I can play this without audio. No, I can't. Okay. So that's going to, if I play that, that'll give us, we'll get demoed. Oh wait, I can mute it. There we go. Let's see. They got another play. These guys are spike play to set up the,
yeah, because I'd love to see what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's killing me right now.
Man, this is, it's the, it's this combination. This is the thing that makes it so, like, I can handle losing as a team, right? And I know where, and I didn't expect a whole lot of wins this year. This was a really fun game, I thought, to watch for the Lions. But again, if you go in with the right expectations, you can still have a good time, right? I mean, you can still enjoy the football and looking for different things to happen with the team. But the idea that
wins every week,
we hear, I've got that. The fact,
that song.
The thing that we constantly hear about how the Lions, you know, Detroit, the Matthew Stafford thing. Oh, he got out of Detroit. Oh, he's been, you know, released from, you know, the worst place in the history of the world and losing and all the crap that they constantly shit on the city. And then it's like, okay, fine. That's your narrative. That's what you want to do. Fine. Sorry, but I hope Brady just massacres him today. I've had enough of the whole crap on Detroit narrative with Stafford. I would like to just see, he wants to play in big games. Great. I hope he loses them and then we can get over that whole bullshit storyline. But then now on top of it, you have this crap with the refs, like that pull. This team did enough to win this game and the refs didn't let them. And so now, you know, you start saying, what is this? Is this just, and I'm not saying it's rigged or anything, but it just constantly feels like everything is set up against this team, the city, the fans. Like it's just this constant kicking the dong over and over and over. And it's like, when do you get a break, man? When do you get a freaking break? And then you get the dipshits on the sports radio in Detroit that just love to kick the fans too and pile on and have fun. And the people eat that crap up. It's like, God dang it, man. God dang it. How can you even just can't eat? There's a way to have fun in losing, right? There is. There absolutely is. You can look at this team and there was a lot of fun to happen today, right? But God dang, all this other crap just lined up over and over. Man. Jiggly, you keep saying that. Yes, they gave up 4th and 19. They shouldn't have. But you know what? There was a delay of game. There was a intentional grounding. There was motion that wasn't called that would have prevented them from kicking the damn ball. The game's over at that point. You can't win. So, yeah, they gave up a 4th and 19. Yeah, there was a guy that ran out of bounds earlier. Yeah, there was a whole lot of stuff that happened before that. But, God, man, that play did not ruin the game, did not lose the game. They still won it after that play until the refs jacked him on the calls. Oh, God almighty. Okay. That's about all the gas I have for that right now. 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Give us a call. We'll let you join the call. We'll let you join the fun.
Yeah.
And Jiggly's great, by the way. He's in the chat all the time. He's been here for years and hanging out. So I'm just, he said that. Nothing personal to Jiggly Scrub.
And it's not like there's nothing negative that I'm going to say about this. Like, I don't like the lack of aggressiveness at the end any more than anybody else does. Like, you need a first down to ice the game. Like, it is won if you get that first down. It's over. The game is complete. There is no potential for a comeback.
Yep.
And you do 3 lame handoffs up the middle when the other team knows you're going to do 3 lame handoffs up the middle. It's the opposite of what we've seen that I've actually been really impressed with from this coaching staff previously with all the 4th and downs that they've gone for. Like these, you have to do that to win. And this wasn't an exception to that. They needed to do that again and they needed for it to work. And that is how they would have won this game. Like, I don't care about the prevent. Like that's bluntly, I'm just going to say it, like football strategy wise, that is the right thing to call on that play, period. End of sentence. Done.
Any coach does it. I don't care if it's Belichick.
Every single coach in the league says, okay, we can't give up 19 yards. Let's line everybody up 19 yards deep and nobody gets open past here. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they screwed it up.
Yeah,
like, the result sucks.
It's the same old NFL in the 4th and 19, man. That's what it is. It's the same old NFL. If you want to coin some SO anything on it, because everybody does that.
Yep.
Ooh, okay. Well,
and if we run 4 guys, maybe this is the time Lamar springs free and runs it for 19 yards, like we watched Mahomes do, like we've watched 1,000 other guys do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if we get aggressive and it's man coverage. Earlier in the game, we saw a play where every single defender did their job perfectly well. Lamar Jackson ran out sideways. There was nobody in front of him for 25, 30 yards.
Yep.
You know, that's what you can't let happen when you're playing the Ravens. It is the most dangerous thing on any down, any distance. Is it doesn't matter what the down and distance is. If that happens and Lamar Jackson has 25 yards to run.
Yep. All right. Hey, caller, what's your name? How much have you had to drink?
Well, You've heard from the UK, now you hear from the other side of the world, the Ozarks. How you doing, Chris?
How you doing, Brendan? Good to have you, man. How's life in the Ozarks today?
Hey, I'm kicking back and watching, I'm watching the game of the week, and our other boy is starting to light up the book.
Oh, is he? Oh no! Oh, we're gonna have to hear it.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't want.
Hey, I don't really care. I mean, you know, I don't care about the placement of the draft pick and all that. To me, even if they wind up going to the Super Bowl and win, to me, that's a high second round draft pick. Plus, you get the extra fifth year option on whatever player they get. So I'm just fine with it. I just want to see him play good and enjoy the game. I'm going to enjoy whatever they do. Uh-oh. Somebody just fumbled. Oh, he got the ball back. I'll be dang.
We. But, oh, my God. You are all in on that. You're saying we. I heard that.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got two teams this year, and frankly speaking, I might even count the Raiders and the AFC as my other team, my third team. But since I got the package, and by the way, if any of you guys didn't know this, if you bought an Apple TV box, you would get the Sunday ticket free through Apple TV.
Really?
How about that?
The more you know.
That box is only like, isn't it like $60? $99?
No, the one I got, it's the newer generation. It was about $150, $160 I got through Amazon. And they had that option. And I was a man. So
wait, wait, Brendan, you got it from Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com, you say? What a great idea.
No. Yeah, there you go.
DetroitLionsPodcast.com. That's where you go get all your Amazon goods, services, or otherwise. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Thanks for setting me up, Brendan.
Yeah, I'm expecting a check in the mail there, bud.
Yeah, well, I'll see how many Apple TVs I sell, and I'll let you know.
Well, I tell you what, I know it's funny. I said it in the chat, and it's been on Twitter a couple of times quoted, but Jared Goff was, of course, interviewed, and he said this has got to be the biggest gut punch he's ever had. And all I could say on Twitter is, welcome to Detroit, boy.
Well, if it makes him feel any better, McVay's girlfriend's biggest gut punch was Jared Goff. So there you go.
there you go. Listen, I'm all for talking more on the positive. I mean, we could go over and over and on about the referees, of course. But this is a team that we know was not going to be all that. And all we were looking for was for improvement. Well, it took three games, but they finally took a lead and was at the end of the game looking to close it out. And just a little, and the biggest problem with this team is just youth and inexperience, man. I mean, our boy Jerry Jacobs running out of bounds and then just destroying what it amounts to is a great fumble and recovery by the Lions, only to have the Ravens go the other way and get a touchdown on it.
And talking to Jerry,
you know he's going to hear about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, oh, no, he is. He heard it. You saw him on the sideline already getting talked to about it. But the thing was, if when we talked, he was not, I mean, special teams was not his thing. He's like, I'm not. I'm going to be a cornerback, right? That's what I'm doing. He said he'd never played special teams before. So you're talking about a kid, yeah, right? UDFA cornerback, right, who played at big school at Arkansas and Arkansas State and JUCO before that, but worked his way up and got better and better and better and made the team because he's got a real significant set of skills, has a lot of potential. He's one of those guys that you could really see turn into something great. And they said, we're going to put you on special teams for now to help, you know, get you some time, get you out there and see what we can get out of you in the other way. There's so much nuance. I mean, remember when oh God, who was it? It was the Green Bay player who grabbed the ball with his feet out of bounds. The crazy rules that nobody knows about on special teams, right? It's just right. There's so much nuance to that that it's so hard for a guy that young to learn and pull that out. It sucks. It stinks. But,
right.
I mean, it's the poor man's birthday. I don't want to get too hard on him on his birthday, right? He did.
Oh.
He learned something. He grew on his birthday, right? He grew on his birthday. There you go.
Right. Well, I tell you what, this is and like I've been saying, I even made it a hashtag, youth and inexperience. All the stuff that happened during the game, the mistakes that were made was because either they were too young to know, or even if they were a veteran of some kind, they didn't have the experience. And it's just one of those things, man. Plus, our talent level is just not the best. I mean, the amount of injuries that the Ravens had really put them on our level. And that's why we wound up going toe-to-toe with them. But I tell you what, the first half, that game looked like the Ravens should have been just running away from us. I mean, drop after drop after drop. I mean, what is it? Hollywood Brown looked like a T-Rex out there trying to catch the ball.
Well, that's because I had him on two of my fantasy teams, and I played him this week. I thought I'd get the best luck possible for the Lions, and then that part worked.
Hey, I drafted the rookie that they took in the first round this year in pretty much every league I'm in, and hey, he's on IR. That's how much I helped us this week.
We did our Dynasty League for the Slack last year, and I got first overall pick. I've never had that in any draft to get Christian McCaffrey last year and this year. Just
Here's something else, money, Chris.
Go ahead, Fred. Sorry.
I was just going to say, and I'll go ahead and get out of here. I know you got some other guys want to yak. So, one of the things I took away from this, though, is the run defense came alive. This is the best running team in the entire league. I mean, they have had, I don't know how many games straight of 100 yards rushing. I don't think they got it this week. I have to look. If not, man, they barely got it. And their best rusher was actually Lamar Jackson.
Yep. By a
significant
song.
If you look at that and you see how they played, I'm thinking, you know, I made a comment to he didn't agree with it, Mark Champion, but I said, man, this is looking like the Pistons from last year where they're young but make a lot of mistakes. He said, no, he didn't think so. I said, well, I do.
Well,
I mean, you got guys who are willing and playing and trying the hardest, but they just come up short, and there you are, you know. So, I'm encouraged. And next week is the Bears, and we get it, baby. We're gonna get a win next year, next week.
Yeah.
Take care, guys.
You too.
See you later.
You too. No, I think the Pistons analogy is a great one. I think it's a really, really good look at where this team is, where is it going. Shiner in the chat's asking, is MCDC going to hold on to the locker room after this loss? I think this will be the first big test of buy-in from the players. I had they not played till the last second, which I don't know, maybe there was a couple extra seconds in the game and the rest didn't seem to be watching the clocks, but they played to the end and never gave up. So I'm not thinking that their commitment is in question this week. I don't think this week is the big test of Dan and
immediately group. After that kick, they showed Alex Anzalone's face. And I'm going to see if I can screenshot this and put it up on my Twitter feed later, because the look on that man's face was not sadness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's a difference in the way a person looks when like they're angry. Oh. Like, yes, they're sad. You know what I mean? That's in there, but that's not the driver.
No.
You know what I mean? This isn't a fold up and die team.
No.
And anyone who does, well, okay, if they do that for next week, they won't be here for the week after.
I heard you. I think it might be the Canadian accent. Did you mean Alex Anzalone? Was that who you're
Anzalone. It's a me. Me the linebacker.
Oh, man. Barnes's early injury terrified me. I was like, let me hit the phone number real quick. 248-782-8384. Give us a call. 248-782-8384. We'll put you on the air. Loretto, thank you for the super chat. Can Dan throw the red flag harder, please?
I thought he should have thrown the red flag on the play before he did.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that was a touchdown. Same. But after Swift. They showed all the camera angles, I don't know if he would have won it. So good job with the restraint on that one on his part. You know what I mean? Because like it's hard to not do that when there's a touchdown at play, but then he had it for when it mattered.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because he doesn't have that challenge flag. Like who knows what happens on the next snap?
You want to hear the saddest tweet of the day? This is heart wrenching. Tori Petri, she tweets, "I too used to be so innocent when I was new to Detroit." In response to Goff saying the gut punches will stop. Yep. Oh, man, yeah. That hurts. Captain Anzalone.
Yeah, like it just, and your heart melts for him. You know what I mean? Because they don't know. You know what I mean? Like you and me, how many times, like, I don't even feel this, man. Like this, I'm sitting here laughing and smiling 20 minutes later, like, whatever. You know?
I was mad last year. Like these kind of losses, I was ripping angry. I'm just more.
Hey, it wasn't really, 38 to 10.
You know, literally, this is it.
We've had enough of that shit.
That's exactly where I'm at on this. I'm just tired of this kind of shit going on, right? I'm just tired of the constant, like, this kind of barrage. This game, I didn't expect us to win. I didn't expect us to win at all. And the fact that we were there at the end and, you know, we played so well against the team. And even, the other two games, we played very well against great teams this year for periods. Not long enough periods, but for periods of time. This game was one where we almost pulled it out. That first win is going to be, like, just a massive release. And it very well may happen against the Chicago Bears. And right now, I'm just thinking it's a stomp on the Bears. I just have this sense that this team is going to come in to Chicago and just ball drag them. Just not let them up for air, especially after what we saw or what I heard we saw against Chicago happen in Chicago today. I've got more to watch on that one. We'll see. Hey, caller, what's your name? How much have you had to drink?
I am Jesse. I think you heard of me before.
I do. Okay, we're gonna keep it tight here, Jesse. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Go ahead.
I know, right? I'm long-winded. I get it. All right. 15. I finally have a number for you. You know, I'm just really encouraged, honestly, by everything I saw today. I mean, I really, honestly, I've been a Detroit Lions fan for many, many years. I would say 25, 30. Right around that number, okay? And, golly, every year. Now, I am a homer when it comes to being a fan. I get it. I want to win every week. But there's also things that I take away from the game. I tell you what, this game was very encouraging. The last game, too, I really feel like we made improvement. I really did. Defense, oh, my gosh. We held Lamar to what? Are you kidding me? That is, to me, insane. So yeah. I would love for you to talk about that a little bit. And our running game. I mean, goodness gracious. There's so many young players on this team that stepped up. You wouldn't expect to.
This is my narrative right now. There's so many things that we have that we didn't have for the last 3 years. Like a running game. Yeah. Like a defense. Right? We have less talent on the team than we did all three of the last 3 years. I mean, they were ticking it down each year. They were, as Ash loves to say, and Ash, this is going to be hard having you on the show because I love quoting you. Replacing better talent with lesser talent continuously was Bob Quinn's MO for 3 years, right? And left us with this gaping hole in the ground. We have these young guys, and yet we have all the success that we didn't have before. I mean, that screams volumes about the coaching staff.
It's so encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jamie, we're going to run. We got a couple other people trying to hit the phones. Thank you, sir, for calling. I appreciate it, brother.
Can I just hit that one briefly?
Yeah. Go down, buddy.
All right, because what I want to say about that is, like, one of the positives that you can take from this, and it's I think it is a really big deal, is whether you agree with the strategy or not, they hit two things really hard this offseason. They wanted to be able to run the ball, and they wanted a solid D-line. And what did we see today? Games on the line. Our guys are running the ball down the field, and our guys are putting pressure on the most difficult to pressure quarterback in the NFL without blitzing. Like, there was no crazy madness going on. Like, on the one play, Anzalone did it, but on all of the other plays, just a defensive lineman making a play. Do you know what I mean?
Do you mean
Captain Anzalone? So all the draft capital.
Sorry, it's a Canadian accent.
It's me, a pass rusher.
I can't get past that. Every time you say it, it's like, wait.
Fair enough. But yeah, like, they focused on things, and these are the exact same things that the last regime focused on for three consecutive off seasons and could never put together. Yep. These guys did it in one, and it's working. Like, there are a lot of things that are not working about this team. Like, the passing game is not going to come around. Like, I cannot see a world in which, by anything other than volume stats, Jared Goff hits like 5,000 yards passing and 40 touchdowns. You know, like, maybe if we throw 900 times.
There's no one to sign. There's no one to sign, right? We are where we are. This is why, and I know, I think it was you that was it was Jeff. It was Riz that was down on this idea. I'm okay to take a flyer on Josh Gordon this year. If he cleans up and can get it together, this is the staff that'll help him do it. Right, this is a staff that ain't going to take no crap. And all of a sudden, you have a real you've got yourself a heck of a chess piece if he can get it together with his team. If not, what have you really lost?
Yeah, what's it going to cost you? Like, you bring a guy like that in who is literally right now the only human being who might actually be able to fix something that is desperately wrong with your team. That is the opposite of a problem for your locker room. Your locker room immediately says, okay, what is everything we can do to get this guy where he needs to be? Like, who's hanging out with him? You know what I mean? And like, that is a locker room building situation. And then if it doesn't work, yeah, that's a bit of a gut punch. But management said, you know what? You guys are playing well enough that we're going to give you what you need.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it now. We're not going to punt on this season.
Right.
Because that's how you lose the locker room.
That's exactly
if right. Nothing changes next week, like if they go into Chicago and they don't play good for three quarters, you know, and nothing changes and it sets in that that is what is going to happen every single week, like it did with the 0-16 team, where 5 weeks in they knew, like their head coach is up there doing press conferences going, we just gotta keep digging and doing shoveling motions, and it's like, this is it, like there's no plan B, there's nothing. You know what I mean? There has to be a plan B. That's how you don't lose the locker room. And Collins didn't play well. Collins is gone.
Yep.
Okay, well, our number one wide receiver can't get on the field and there's this guy here. And okay, let's spend $2 million in cap space and on per game roster bonuses. You know what I mean? Like, dude, if you can just not get suspended, you will get this money because no one else is giving him more than league minimum.
Right.
That's how you get a guy like this. Is you say, look, we're going to give you, like, you can make $10 million this year. You just got to stay on the field and be the guy you were that 1 year where you were the best wide receiver on planet Earth.
And he if wants
you do that. If here's $20 million.
If he wants a redemption arc, right? This is the place to do it. This is the place to do it. Come in now on a team that's down, that's looking to give you the shot. Everyone's working for everyone else. Come in, show you've cleaned it up, show you can do it, and then bring it. And if you got it this year, that's awesome. Stick here with the team that stuck it out with you and bring this team greatness. Come, you know, find greatness as this team grows and grows into something special. What a hell of a story, right? Love those kinds of stories. Caller, what's your name? How much have you had to drink?
My name is Paul, and not enough to forget that that field goal.
We don't forget, we forgive. But,
Ash, so Canadian.
For sure.
110%. We don't forget, we forgive. What do you got for us,
buddy? I just wanted to comment on, for once, it's actually this season, it seems it's been nice to see that the Lions have a running game. Like, I believe the season when they had Joique Bell back then, a few years back, was like the last time they actually had a running game, and then with like Reggie Bush as well.
Yeah.
And it's good to see them like actually running the ball for once. And obviously I miss Stafford, but
I feel
it's
like
cool to see them having more than just a passing game.
I feel like the Joique Bell, Reggie Bush running game was, though, it wasn't the same. It was, hey, look, we got yards, right? So the numbers that are there. But it was the kind of flash in the pan kind of. It wasn't like the steady Eddie running game like we see right now. Like, this looks like a real NFL running game. And it seems weird, but we haven't seen that. Even when we go back to Reggie Bush and Joique Bell, it just didn't seem like it was real. This just seems so much more like a real NFL team would have, like a good NFL team would have.
Yeah.
Every time the Lions had a running game. Go ahead.
Yeah, it seems a lot more reliable.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Yeah, like every time the Lions have had a running game in the past, whether it was, you know, Jahvid Best or Reggie Bush, or it's always a guy like that who's been driving it. The guy who's like 1 yard, 1 yard, 1 yard, 1 yard, 1 yard, 35. You know what I mean? It's never been
reliable.
Jamal Williams taking what should have been a loss of 2 yards and turning it into one. You know what I mean? That's the element that's been missing, is the guy who takes Jared Goff stumbling and barely getting the handoff, and he turns it into a net positive play. You know what I mean?
And it's like, it's almost like the games we played before, it was just the casino. It was always the casino. It was the running game. One, bar, right? Lemon, whatever. All of a sudden, right? Spits out some stuff.
Yep.
And it was true. And it was the same with the passing game, right? Stafford would have a bad half. It would be miss, right? Drop, whatever. All of a sudden, sling. It's like, chink, you know, how come the coins again? Very much a lot of that kind of casino feel, where this is just, this is workmanlike. This is the, like, you can truly trust the run game. It changes your 4 minute, drill. It changes your 7 minute drill. When you have a team that can run the ball, that means you can do the clock. We use the clock very, very well. We made them eat all their timeouts. We did a really, really good job. I don't like the three runs there at the end that led to the last field goal. I don't like the play call. I don't mind that we ran the ball. So I just want to be clear there. But we definitely did do really well. Again, I mean, Matt Patricia lived with Bill Belichick for 143 years and couldn't figure out clock management, couldn't figure out timeouts, couldn't figure out. No problem for Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell manages these games very, very well. This is pretty interesting for a guy who's, other than taking over in Miami as a coach, as a replacement coach, who's really never coached a team before, to see him step in and be so damn competent off the top in game management is really, really heartening. Gives me a lot of hope for where he can help take this team.
Well, that's exactly it. Because you can say you don't like it. You can't say it's wrong. You know what I mean? That is a legitimate strategy in that situation, just like that 4th and 19. You know what I mean? I don't like any of that. It all makes me angry, but it's not demonstrably incorrect, like taking the wind in overtime or, it's not one of those where you're just like, what is this person thinking? That just isn't a thing that human beings would do, because I guarantee there are at least 16 coaches in the NFL who look at that three straight runs right up the middle and go, yep, that's exactly what I would have done.
Yep. Yeah.
Not many college coaches.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Thank you for taking the call, and I love the podcast. So
thanks,
keep
man.
Up the good work.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, man.
All right.
Have a good one. Thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
You too. Cheers. Awesome. Good stuff. All right. So looking forward, we have a week. We'll talk about it. You have kind of hangover Monday, right? Monday Night Football. There's a Thursday game coming this week. It's just going to be the Jags against the Bengals. It's going to be It's going to be almost painful.
What I mean? Well, the thing is the Bengals offense came alive, and I mean, they got two players I really do like.
Yeah.
And they put on a clinic today, so I'll be watching that, just hoping Jacksonville pulls off the upset for our draft status eventually, because I think they're a lot like our team in the, except that they don't have the same coaches, if that makes sense.
Say that again.
Because I think that team is actually better than its one loss record was last year. So if they are still that team, it is 100% because they did things like hire our old offensive coordinator who couldn't get an offense out of that personnel somehow. So that's our competition right now for draft spot. So I'm hoping they pull it off, but I would also like to watch the Bengals just annihilate that team. It would just be nice to see, it's the two worst organizations in football. I don't think anybody.
I've seen that horse beaten so many times. I'm past it. You know what I mean? I'm just like, ugh.
Yep.
Brandon, why we need to cover Calvin? No, I don't think we need to cover Calvin. That's been pretty covered. It is what it is. It's just, it was a bad day for that boy. The fans booing Sheila.
If you boo Sheila, go F yourself, honestly. Just get over it. Yeah, it wasn't nice at halftime. Anything she walked out there to do at halftime, she was going to get booed. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with that situation. It's not your money. Why do you care?
Right. Yeah.
That's where I'm at on this. I don't get $1.5 million.
My life is not going to change at all if Calvin does or doesn't get the money.
No,
in my opinion, case, of
whether
the people
Sheila
involved.
Has it or whether Calvin has it, who doesn't have it? This guy right here. So I don't effing care.
I don't. It doesn't change my opinion of any of the people involved.
This is literally watching the Kardashians. Basically, is the level that's where we're at with this. If you still care about this, you're doing that exact same thing. You're just dressing it up like being a football fan. It's like people who are really good at fantasy football, but don't think they're nerds. You're super cool, but you're working in data analytics for a football website. Yeah. Okay. Sure thing. You're not just a math nerd.
I got to keep a little bit under the.
And those are all things I love. To be perfectly blunt, when I take those shots, I am 100% taking those shots at myself.
I went to a conference at the NIST, National Institute of something in Gaithersburg, Maryland. and it was about a standard, a programming standard, right? There's about 500 people in the main room for the opening speech. And it's literally the one time in my life, the one time when I was able to scan an entire room of a lot of people and say confidently and truthfully, I'm the coolest motherfucker in this room.
Yeah. When I was managing a computer sales department for a large multinational corporation, I won't mention, I had that same experience where I walked in and I was like, man, I smell better than any other person in this room. And that bothers me because I'm not really like the vain kind of, like, I don't have six different kinds of cologne on. Like, I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? But like, I put on Pit Stick and I think I'm the only one here.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Okay. We'll put the calls on. Anyone that picks in, we'll get your last couple calls if you call in 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Or you can use Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. I'm going to go ahead and let you start and drop your takeaways, Ash, and tell everyone how to feel.
Well, here's how I'd feel. Khalif Raymond did a damn fine job today of doing an impression of good wide receiver. Like, we'll see if that continues. Like, he on that, and a smart player. Like, that covering up the ball on that, the wide receiver screen at the end to just ensure that the good he had done didn't get undone by, because you know they were trying to punch that out. Yeah. Like, and he knew that's what was coming. And that's just the smart heads up play is the thing that says to me that that's a useful guy. Like, I don't think he's not the future wide receiver one of the Detroit Lions. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think that's in there, but
he's not going to be on the Super Bowl
receiver three next year.
Yeah. He's not going to be on the Super Bowl team, but he can definitely help us along the way, get to that team.
Well, even that, he could be there for that just as contributor guy, because he's also a special teams guy. You know what I mean? So, like, there's that. Like, this is a guy who he creates a good room.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to be doing right now. Like I said with St. Brown, I'm shocked he's not playing. But Raymond did well enough that I get it. You can't just put anybody ahead of that, because that is a guy giving 100% and giving you results.
Yep.
Like, same with Cephas. He's on the other side of the field. That's the best option over there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But they're not great options is the, that's the mitigating factor. Like, there is a ceiling that you can hit with the personnel we have. And I think we kind of saw a lot of that today there are issues.
Yep.
And we need to remember that going forward, that when certain things are required of this team, they don't have it. Like, there is no pitching wedge in the bag of golf clubs. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like, you can try to go like 60% swing on a 9-iron, you know, and maybe that's going to turn out okay. Or maybe you're just going to hit it along the ground with a nice little worm burner and shoot across the other side of the green. You know, that's what we're looking at here, is you're putting a lot of square pegs in a lot of round holes. And sometimes it's going to work. Like, Price played his butt off today, but you do not want to be starting that guy at corner right now. There is no plan where that is what you want to be doing. Same with AJ Parker. He had a heck of a game too. Guys out there playing his butt off, but you don't write this up. You know what I mean? Like, they're improvising on the fly, you know, they're just making it work with what they have.
Really quick.
As best they can.
A couple of things, breaking news. The first one, not as important as the second one. Rams Bucks are 7-7 right now. That's got to be a good game. I'm going to get out and watch that. This one, oh my God. Andy Reid left Arrowhead in an ambulance. Hopefully he's okay. Yeah, that's all I know right now is Andy Reid left Arrowhead in an ambulance. Man, I hope that he's all right.
Sucks.
He's a guy. He's an easy to love guy.
Been a fan of his for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just seems like a good guy. To be around, you know, not to like the Bruce Arians level, you know what I mean? But there's guys who are the mad offensive genius for 20 years. And like, I don't want to talk to Mike Martz, that guy can go F himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a guy like Andy Reid, you feel like just accidentally you'd learn 10 million things about a million different subjects, particularly offensive football. But, you know, like, he just seems like a good dude. I hope that turns out okay.
Yeah. Not necessarily a whole lot about nutrition. You'd get a lot about football, and that's what you're in there
for. Not what I'd be asking him about, for sure.
Loretto asks, did they blitz on 95% of the snaps? Thank you, Loretto, for the super chat. Really appreciate that, man. I didn't see much blitzing at all.
Like by us or them? Yeah,
by us. Them, I thought it was mostly...
Stunts?
Yeah, mostly stunts.
A lot of, like, their defensive coordinator, whose name is not coming to my head right now, runs a beautiful defense. Like, yeah. it is elegant in all of the ways that the Shanahan offense is, or, yeah. you know, like, he's not just hat on hat, have my guy win. He's, I have the best guy, but I am also going to put him in a situation where not only can he win, but it will be easy for him to win. And that's what geniuses do. You know what I mean? What they take what they have and they don't just go, okay, well, that's fine. I'll leave that out there and let that happen. It's like, no. He's going to swoop around from the defensive end position and he's going to end up basically the other tackle is the person who needs to block him on the opposite side, you know, because no one's going to see that coming. And nobody who started for the Lions has more than like, other than Ragnow, who has more than like 20 starts in right. the NFL. So right. like doing that, that's how you win that game is you make every blitz pickup or every stunt pickup extremely difficult to judge. Like every time Goff got hit, that's what it was, is the guy who was hitting him just swooped around, came from out of nowhere, and it took him long enough to get to that spot that the person who should have picked him up had already done something else because he wasn't patient enough. And that's what you get with young players. It's on the list of 10,000 mistakes that were made today that are made because the person has never seen this situation before. Yep. Like you said with Jerry, you know, you run out of bounds, you don't know, you got to come back in. Like, sure, you've heard that rule. Someone has said that
to you. But he's not touching the ball.
But it's not wired into the brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not muscle memory to immediately start pushing back towards that. You know, like, you want to get around the guy first. That's just natural humanity. And it's the same thing with blitz pickups. You look and there's nobody there, so you go double a guy.
Yep.
Then there's a guy there and Jared Goff's on his back.
We got Ash equals Wink Martindale in the...
Thank you. The thing is, it's a name where I'm like, I know this name is so freaking like distinctive that I'm going to feel like a complete moron when somebody says this, like Wink Martindale.
All right.
It should
stick. I didn't have it either, though. It's okay. Hey, caller, yeah. What's your name? How much have you had to drink?
Hey, Brandon calling from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I have not had enough to drink today. I'm toast.
There isn't enough for a day like today.
You guys were actually just talking about what I was calling in about with Jerry Jacobs out of bounds there. My understanding of the rule was that it's only a penalty if you're the first player to touch the player or tackle, touch the ball or tackle the player. Am I just entirely wrong in that?
Go ahead, Ash. I'll let you do
it. What it is basically you can't, like, first, you have to try to get back in as rapidly as possible, or that's a penalty. Second, you can't be the person to touch the ball, even if you do that and get back in fast enough that it's not a penalty.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
All right. So it's too faceted there. All right.
Yeah. It's two different.
Yeah.
Rules.
I was pretty angry about that from my understanding of the rule, but I guess I didn't have a full understanding of the rule.
That's okay. And it's the other thing is it's to stop guys. Like, you've got your blockers on a gunner, right? They're there to slow him down. It's, you've got
two guys beating the crap out of somebody, yeah, basically, on every play.
And they're there. That's their job, is to stop him, right? You can't just, like, run off of the field of play to get around him, right? I mean, that would
guys have done it.
Right. That would mean that there's no field of play. Like, the whole thing is wide open. So that's what that rule is. You can't just, like, avoid blocks by running out of bounds and running back in. So that's where that penalty came from. And Jerry, I mean, when you look at it, I see it, and I see two guys. They did. They got in his way, and they blocked him. They didn't really put hands on him. He just ran around him, and I get where his mind is, exactly what he's doing. And I start to wonder now. I want to go back and look at some of the film, because he's covered punts. He's, like, always the first guy down there. Like, they call a fair catch, and he's the one standing in their face. And then the next guys are, like, you know, the ball's in his hands, and 3-4 steps, all of a sudden they show up. He's always – so I'm wondering, is this something he's gotten away with before? Or is, you know, I don't know exactly what. The saddest part about it is, though, it literally had no bearing on the play at all. It had no bearing on anything.
Yes, exactly.
So that's the fun of being a Lions fan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and they found a new interesting way to lose this week too.
Yeah. Well,
I'd rather find a new interesting way to lose than watch one of the old ones for the 45th time.
See that?
Not gonna lie.
But I was happy they were in it till the last second. Well, almost the last second, 5 seconds. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever you want to call that. but yeah, that's about all I had to say. Thanks for clarifying for me. No may problem. I have that enough to drink?
just don't drive, whatever you do, brother.
This is how you find out. Yeah, Ubers don't cost that much.
All right, man. Have a great day.
I'm home. Don't worry.
All right, cool. Thanks, man. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, you see you. Oh, man, that's good. That guy sounds like he'd be a lot of fun.
Yep.
All right, another super chat. This one from Loretto. Since you talked about the ceiling of this team currently, is linebacker the biggest need with safety next? 1A, 1B thing, then wide receiver second. Where do you go first, Ash?
Wide receiver.
Interesting.
And it pains me to say that because I have been a dyed-in-the-wool, you need 5 good ones, not 1 great one. This team right now, 1 great one fixes what this is. Because they have a bunch of like things that would be manageable if there was one guy taking the defense's attention. And I'm not even talking to like the Calvin Johnson level. I'm talking to like the way Marquise Brown was taking our attention today as the Lions. You know what I mean? Where there's a safety over the top every time, because if you don't, then that's probably going to be a touchdown because your corner can't handle him. Just that level. You know what I mean? Where it's a guy who needs to be reckoned with on the outside every time, or you're screwed, because then the things like that wide receiver screen to Raymond work. And all of the things that I still to this day do believe Amon St. Brown can do for an offense are significantly more possible when there's somebody taking defenders away from that.
Right.
You know, like
somebody you have to scheme against, you have to double cover.
Exactly. Like somebody that you have to worry about, because that's the thing right now is nobody's looking at the Lions offense and going like, that's the thing that's going to give us trouble, because they'll give you the running game all day. Like if the running game is what's gashing you, that's manageable, because at some point you're going to have 3rd and 9 and then the team has to make a play and we just don't have a guy.
Yep.
Because they took Hawkinson away today. They absolutely 100%. Like if you bracket a tight end with a safety and a guy like Patrick Queen,
but that's why you need that one guy. That's why you need that one guy, because they could do that to that one guy, but then Hawkinson's open, right? I mean, that's like, the thing. You have a guy to tip the hat to Wisco. You have a dude in Hawkinson, right? You need a dude elsewhere. And that's where I agree with you, as wide receiver is the biggest need to see this offense getting consistent. All of a sudden happens when you have a wide receiver. You have the run game, you have the offensive line, and then it becomes a different kind of story with the games. It is literally, does the defense show up is whether or not we win the games. And then I think that helps out a lot in, you know, where this team's at. So,
I want a linebacker? Yes. You know, but with that said, Alex Anzalone, if he keeps playing like this, I'm okay with him being the middle linebacker next year too.
Didn't he get a captain somewhere? Anzalone?
He did.
Yeah, Captain Anzalone.
Yeah, so the players knew. The players knew, and we just didn't see it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, then you get Barnes. Maybe Barnes is your weak side linebacker. Mm-hmm. That's your 2 starting linebackers next year. I'm okay if that ends up being the situation based on how the year has gone so far. Safety? Good God, yes, we need that.
Well, here's the thing, because, and this is what I want to go to, because Riz talked about this. I saw it on Twitter. He was talking about it. Where we pick in the draft, likely at the very, very top. Right, the quarterbacks just aren't exciting. They're not the guy that's going to help this franchise. You're not going to get someone better than Goff this year.
And there's no Ja'Marr Chase either.
Right.
To be blunt, like that guy's not in this draft either.
Says the most athletic player at the top of the draft is a safety, and that's what you take. Yeah, I know. With that first round pick, right? And we need two safeties.
The thing is, if this is that draft year, so be it. I am not a positional value zealot. You know what I mean? Yeah, like if you get, like, say we're not number one overall, like if we're picking number one overall, like, okay, trade that to somebody or take one of the positions that matters. I don't care which one, you know what I mean? But like, there's going to be somebody there. Maybe we don't know who it is yet, 'cause we're still early in the college football season. That does happen quite a bit. but there's going to be something worth that spot because that guy gets paid like he's one of the best in the league from the day he comes in.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And he's under intense pressure, and yep. there are certain positions where you can never justify that.
Yeah.
And that's like before last season, Hawkinson, he was developing just fine for a tight end, you know, yep. like mm-hmm. that's like he was on the right path for a very good tight end. And prior to last year when he made the Pro Bowl, people were still going like, oh, you drafted a tight end number 8. Well, no one's saying that now.
Yeah, and when you, you talk about, I mean, drafting. And
in fact, there were a lot of people that I recall having said that previously who suddenly were like, oh, we should also draft Kyle Pitts and run 12 personnel constantly. It's just, he is having a hell of a year too. Don't get like that.
Yeah, he's doing just
better fine. Year than I thought he was going to have just because he got drafted by the team he got drafted by and was actually going to be playing as a tight end. And that's kind of a statistical limiter. But prior to this week, I haven't looked at what Atlanta did this week, but he was on pace for like 875 yards yeah. receiving out of the tight end yeah. spot as a rookie.
It's not bad.
I'll take the L on that one too.
Yeah, no, you have the wide receiver need. You also don't forget you'll have a pick if the Rams continue to hold up, right? Yeah, anywhere between 27 or 32.
Safety there, then
yeah.
you can double up in round 2.
Exactly. And gives you a lot to work with. And then you still have 2 first rounders next year and a lot to work with. So, yeah, wide receiver is a really, really big need for this team right now. No question at all. I want to talk about saw it come by on the Twitter, and then we got a couple of super chats also that we have to hit. No delay in our game. Oh, sorry, that was mine. Talking about the issuance of another apology letter from the NFL. Oh, sorry, we got it wrong, right? At Ford Field, I honestly believe that they should print out copies of those apology letters and ring them around the outside of the stadium, right? All the NFL, oh, we're sorry we got this yep. wrong. Oh, we're sorry we got this wrong. Because I think you could probably do the full loop without repeating. It might
be a yellow brick road from the farthest parking lot to the stadium.
Yes.
Of just copies of these letters on blocks of the concrete.
Oh my God! Yeah, the Detroit Walk of Fame of NFL apology yep. letters. What a mess! Yeah, that's kind of a wreck that stinks. Okay, into the super chats. We're catching up back here. I just saw Anceloni named in the chat. Since he talked about this, oh, we got that one. Okay, Luke P, thank you so much for the super chat. That one was for my cats, and to say that Dan Campbell is my spirit animal. God, I love that man. Yeah, you know, he is a guy that is so easy to love. He really yep. is. If we're staring,
even though I think he's killing us on this Collins thing, like him coming out and basically going like, "Yeah, that guy's not on the team anymore." Basically, like. You know, Brad Holmes heard that. I was like, dude, what are you? You're killing me, man. Yeah.
That's not how you negotiate.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so everyone now, the reports are that everyone's just waiting yep. on that for us to cut him. But the thing is, they can't cut him because his salary is guaranteed.
Yep.
And there's no offset language for that.
Yep.
And then next year, they're still paying him a bunch of guaranteed salary. Whereas if they trade him, they lose the guaranteed salary this year and the guaranteed salary next year. So even if they have to pay,
yeah.
you know, what is another, I think I worked it out to be something like $7 million in salary cap space over the like next year, basically, if they trade him versus cutting him. So what is that worth to keep that? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do you go, okay, you know, like we'll take your 7th and give you our 6th and Jamie Collins. You know, like maybe you don't lose an actual pick, but like realistically speaking, most of these teams have a 100 player draft board that they're going off anyway. The guy you were going to take in 6 is probably going to be there when you take it, when you go on 7. Mm-hmm. And if he's not, you trade next year's 7 to jump up into 6.
Right.
You know, like whatever. These things don't matter, basically. Any day 3 pick is completely unimportant and almost always irrelevant after round 4. Like the statistics just bear it out. There is a 25% chance that that player is in the NFL in 3 years. So, you know, moving around back there to get rid of a problem you have that you could take and spend on a safety next year. Mm-hmm. Or like you can fix one of your problems with that money. You know what I mean? An off-ball linebacker who can start games for you doesn't cost more than that $6 million.
Yep.
He's not going to be an all pro, but we're paying a guy a lot more than that right now to be a healthy scratch.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I got another quick announcement I got to make. Dean Blandino has confirmed 100% he will be on the show this week. So we will talk about the, that terrible, terrible call.
Those terrible, terrible calls.
Those all three missed, right? All three missed.
Because we shouldn't have had to challenge it because the first one was a touchdown. So the play that we had to challenge shouldn't have even happened.
Right.
That's... And so on and so on and so on and so on. Like the whole fourth quarter,
I think,
is the discussion.
Based on the camera angles that I saw or that we saw, I felt like absolutely that was a touchdown for Swift. But I know I'm a fan, right? So it's like I've got a bias. I think the guys in the booth saw the angles and could tell you couldn't overturn the call with the angles they had on the camera. But judging by what I saw, that ball did break the play in the goal line before he ever touched out of bounds.
I was just going by the motion of his arm.
Yeah.
Like at the point where his arm is fully outstretched, it's in the end zone.
Yep.
And then from the back camera, you can see he's not out of bounds yet when his arm is fully outstretched. Right, so exactly. Like
through the triangulation property. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You combine them into one thing and then you go, okay, that's a touchdown. But I don't think maybe you don't challenge that one, you know, like worked out fine. That didn't end up being the thing that cost everything. But yeah,
we were already running the clock down at that point. That's why we said, yep. Don't we'll just score. It's okay. So that was tough, but we'll have Dean on. He'll talk about it. I mean, he's always great with his tweets. They're hilarious. And if you haven't seen it and you still have this hate for Dean Blandino, I really recommend you go back, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You can search Dean Blandino. We've had him on a number of times. And the first time you'll see when we had him on, we gave him no quarter. We asked all of the hard questions. Okay.
You were way meaner than I thought you were going to be.
Yeah. Here, I actually have a quote from later, but here's one. Seriously, this is honest to God what he said in one of our interviews.
There was no hookers and no blow on that bus. Go.
Okay. So no hookers, no blow on the bus. No.
Don't punch his pole.
We did. We went deep. And then, you know, we got to know, we did a video with him. If you've seen on the YouTube channel, Dean Does Detroit. It was a fun little redemption arc for him.
I think it's hilarious.
He's a great dude. He really is. I started the hashtag Fire Blandino, and it was like, I was so done with that guy when we were early first couple years of the podcast. And then he left, and we got to know him, and I'm literally now the hashtag is Hire Blandino. We need him back because the guy, he's if you see, okay, things were tough when he was at the NFL, but if you see what he did with the XFL, the transparency in the booth for the reviews, all of that kind of stuff, if he gets his way, he can do a lot of good for officiating in the NFL. He has a lot to bring to this, and
here's how I see the future of football. Manning cast with that level of transparency on the officiating end. Can you imagine the experience of watching that game?
Be so
like
much
that's
so
much I'm in. Would take all of my money.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want?
I would probably sign up for DirecTV in the Sunday ticket again if that's how they made me do it, if that's what they did, because it would be worth it. It would absolutely be worth it.
100%.
Let's see. Jean-Paul Morrison. Sorry, our D-line must be salivating at playing the Bears since they just gave up nine sacks. Feed them Fields. Nine sacks. Yeah, Chicago is not a good team. and look, if I'm Dan Campbell, played in Detroit, come back, coach in Detroit, the first win to be against the Chicago Bears, kind of setting the tone. Game. That would be good.
Division game.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm down for that. I think they can. I think they can beat the Bears. And actually, I'm going to see what the lines are because I think I'm going to go with the money line.
It's the first game I believe is possible.
Yeah. Well, I thought this one had. I thought there was potential in this game. It wound up and the pre-show chatter that Tony Ortiz and I had before the game preview show, he really convinced me that the Lions have a shot here. And Tony, don't let him fool you guys. I mean, he's a nice guy, but he is sharp. He knows his football. Just couldn't believe it. I was like, he convinced me, and absolutely. I mean, we had a great shot at winning this game. We, for all intents and purposes, won this game, except the one that's most important, or the record books. But, hey, we'll have another apology letter to put in the granite walkway.
Yep.
All right. With that, hey, it's football. losing ain't fun, but it can be if you look at it the right way. This team's in, heading yep. in the right direction for sure. We have a team that's a potential Super Bowl contender, right, to play in it. And we gave them hell, so that's pretty good. We'll take this one last call. Caller, what's your name? How much have you had to drink?
Brian.
How you doing?
Enough. He found
I'm
it.
Good. I'm Jacob. I haven't had anything to drink. I'm just leaving work.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jacob. Working on Sundays.
Today. I know. It's all right. I punched a couple boxes at the end of work. You know, it's all good.
Where you work at?
I work at Amazon.
Oh, nice. That's
all right. A lot of boxes around.
And you
kind of snuck my...
Do you
my AirPods
always,
in, you know?
Yeah. Do you always use Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com?
Oh, of course. Every time.
That's awesome. Get your Halloween candy costumes, you name it. We're hitting October, right? All right, what do you got for us, Jacob? Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Thanks for playing along on my Amazon commercial.
Yeah, I just wanted to make an observation. You know, like, this loss feels similar to the Hail Mary, you know, from Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
It was like a penalty that should have been called or whatever. Didn't we lost? I feel the main key difference is that Lions team was at its peak, and this one is just beginning to rise. You know what I mean?
Ooh, wow. That is awesome. I really like that, Jacob. Wow.
And here's my hot take.
It's a good
take. Lions will be 3-3 before we head to L.A. I'm just gonna say it.
Oh man, I can only get so hard. All right, I have to peek. We got Chicago, and then we got Minnesota, and then we got the Bengals.
And then we got the Bengals.
Possible.
That's three very winnable games.
Damn.
You know,
Jacob.
Like, not winnable. Not winnable in the you should win those games, but winnable in a you could win those games kind of way. You know, like.
Oh,
it's not like the last 3 weeks where I literally walked into all three games thinking, okay, yes, this is an L, you know, like it just, when you look at the schedule, you go 0-3. If everything happens the way that it should happen, that's three losses. You know what I mean? Whereas then you look at the next three and you're like, okay, those teams look a lot worse than maybe we thought they were going to at the beginning of the year. Cause everyone was talking about the redemption arc for Minnesota.
Right.
Fields is going to reignite this offense and carry him to the promised land. The Bengals can't suck forever, you know, like, and honestly, of the three teams, the Bengals are the team I'm most afraid of because they have a thing that we are going to have trouble beating.
Yep,
and that's Joe Burrow throwing to Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing for us in the same way, but a much less experienced way than the Rodgers Devontae Adams thing. You know what I mean? Like, The question is going to be, can they do what Rodgers and Devontae Adams did, where when we do take a shot and try to do something different and switch it up, can they take advantage of that? Because they have the ability, but it's going to be tight.
The problem is their offensive line, right?
Yep.
And our defensive line, they could really, really cause problems there.
Yep.
That's going to be a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a fun game to watch because, God, you are so right. And then, so we beat the Bengals. Then the next day, I fly to Vegas for a week and you got the Rams game. I'm going to be drunk and stupid and put way too much money in the Lions to beat the Rams. I can see this unfolding now. Somebody hold on to my wallet while I'm gone.
Just leave it at home.
I'm like, oh, man.
Okay, well, that's all I got, but I love the show. Donate the Fisher House.
Oh, man, thanks.
And that's all I got for you guys. All right, thanks a lot, man.
All right, thanks a lot, brother. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, how far are we away from the Fisher House thing, like the goal we set?
We're past our goal.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we didn't build the Fisher House at the VA, but we've got some good money going to them. I'm going to do a count up here. We're going to end the Fisher House stuff at the end of this month. So if you buy a shirt from DetroitLionsPodcast.com/store, there's some really great shirts. If you like some retro Detroit stuff, Boblo Island, some really cool Detroit shirts. I'm about to drop a Kobo shirt. $4 from every one of those is going to go to Fisher House. And then on top of it, we just auctioned off three pairs of tickets to the Ravens game. We gave away a pair. We'll see more of those thanks to Lions Nation Unite. Go to LionsNationUnite.com. Get in there. Herman Moore's new platform of creators like us. Great guys, Dosa Dion is in there, and a whole bunch of everything. Kang, everyone cool's in there. So go on over, head on over and check it out, and have a lot of fun. We at LionsNationUnite.com. That's a good spot. Also, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It's a fun place to hang out and do all the stuff there. Oh, Patreon. Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast, right? That's the Slack
chat. Where you can come talk to me. And when I make mistakes like saying our fourth round wide receiver is going to have immediate impact and be spectacular, you can call me on that every single day for several months.
You can also talk to the Riz and me and all the folks. Cases in there makes a flyby every now and then as well. It's a great group of folks. And it is without a doubt the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. With a really, really special group of people all helping us. As we go to October 1st, we're going to move from Fisher House to St. Jude. We have the November 5th 24-hour fundraiser live stream that we're going to do. We're going to do some things leading up to that. We're putting a lot of that together right now. But that show is going to have some star power like you guys don't even believe. It's going to be... You know, we keep doing this next level stuff, right? It's like, wow, that was huge. Wow, that was huge. Some of the stuff we got planned here is kaboom big. I'm telling you guys, would not think that we'd ever talk to these people, but it's who we are, right? So check it out. Get that going. We'll have a lot of fun raising money for St. Jude and all the good stuff.
If you need my help from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. when no one else will come on, let me know.
You're on the list, my friend. We've already got a Swift jersey, a Swift signed ball, some really, really cool stuff. Some really cool stuff. Thanks, Greg Warren, for your help there. And if you guys have anything you want to donate for our charity auction, please let me know. Chris@DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You can just email me, and we'll set that up. And also, if you don't have money, you don't want to do, we have a couple guys lined up. They want to do pies in the face kind of stuff at different levels. If you want to do anything, not just pies in the face. I mean, we had Staff Daddy last year get that Staff Daddy tattoo. If you want to do something fun like that at certain levels where we raise money, or if you want to just take part and have some fun and get your face on the show, happy to do that. Just all in the name of raising money for St. Jude. Want to have a good time with it. So anything you guys are up for, we're probably up for it too. I don't know if we have to get a release penned out maybe, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right. With that, I think we're going to call it a show. Ash, thank you so much. I love doing these with you. We're at Chicago. So Ash gets a week off next week. Sandman will be on to help us with the post game on the Bears and his first show of the year. So that'll be fun. But we won't forget you, Ash. And I will remember you. Don't forget us on Patreon, patreon.com/.
Will you remember me?
patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Thank you for that drop, by the way. I want to pull that.
No problem. Alex Anzalone, it's a me. There, use that too.
Get access to the Slack, hang out with all those great people. Also on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, and at Mr. Tweetson. Mr. Tweetson, that's Ash.
Or DLP Ash on the Lions Fan Unite thing and or TikTok.
Yeah. Also, wait for us on OnlyFans. It's coming. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast, so we can show up in your face and ears automagically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems. Because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.